Thank you for listening to our Bayshore Rehoboth podcast. We always love to hear stories about how Bayshore is helping to have an impact in your life. We would love for you to take just a moment and send us an email at amen@bayshorecc.org. Also, be sure to stop by our website at bayshorecc.org to find out all kinds of information, including past messages, videos, pictures, links to social media, and an opportunity to give online. Thanks again for joining us, and prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, what's up, church? Hey, is anybody at all excited to be in church? Anybody like a little pumped about this? Man, me too. Lainey, could you put that picture up, the first picture? During this video, is anybody other than me thinking like, can I buy that on Amazon, that glove, that inflatable glove? Like, how great would that be when somebody steals your parking spot in the church parking lot and you got to park down at the Giant? Like, married couples, could any married couples use like a pair of these to settle who gets to choose a Netflix show tonight? Any married couples like at all? Like, come on, let's be honest. You're in church, married couples. This will settle some things. Okay, Ed, you're the one. Okay, so listen. I got these. I could not find the real boxing gloves on Amazon, but I got these, and these have been in our house all weekend long. My kids have beaten me up all weekend long with this, and so tonight when you're trying to figure out what to watch on Netflix, you know, Fixer Upper or Blue Bloods, okay, just go gentle with each other. Don't like uppercut or because you want to watch Fixer Upper, all right? So just, these are for you guys, okay? Have fun. Hey, if you're new here, welcome to Fight Club. I'm just kidding. No, we're all about love here. We're Grace Church. We even let people who root for the Steelers in here. So we're like, we're just love here, all right? But if you are new here, my name is Joel, and I just want to say welcome to church. We're so glad that you would spend part of your weekend hanging out with us. And if you happen to be joining us, watching us online, or listening to us online, we're so glad that you're hanging out with us as well. And if you're watching us on Facebook right now, do me a favor. And just leave us a comment where you're watching from, okay? Just leave a comment where you're watching from, and maybe if you leave a comment where you're watching from, I will maybe pick one person out in the comment section and send this brand new, sweet, limited edition Bayshore trucker hat. So leave a comment, okay? Which, by the way, how sweet are these things right here? These things are so awesome. Jeremy, our executive pastor at our other campus, he ordered just like a small batch of these just to like do a limited run, see if it was something that we wanted to get. And Jeremy's actually part of our online family, and he listens and watches us every weekend. And so would anybody like to have one of these hats? Anybody at all? Yeah, a lot of people. So here's what we're going to do for our online family today. On three, since Jeremy's in the online family, we're going to say, Jeremy, we're going to need some more trucker hats, man. All right, so Jeremy, we're going to need some more trucker hats. Here we go. One, two, three. Jeremy, we're going to need some new trucker hats. I said it way faster. You guys did it better. Anyway, hey, so let's get going. We're in this series called God Never Said That. And if you like are just joining us for this series, the idea for this is simple. Each week, we're just picking out one thing that a lot of people believe that God did say, but he didn't say it. And so like last weekend, we kicked it off and we talked about how God didn't say, my number one goal for you is happiness. And that sounds like a downer when I just say it like that. But listen to last weekend's message. I think it will probably, you know, come across better than that. But I want to introduce today's one thing this way. Almost 12 years ago, me and my wife, Stacy, went on our honeymoon to an all-inclusive resort in Jamaica, Negril, Jamaica, which, by the way, aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say, don't go on all-inclusive? It was amazing. Listen, we ate so much food. I ate sushi for the first time. Praise the Lord. We went scuba diving. We went cliff jumping. And by we, I mean Stacy made me do it while she watched. That's true. We went on this sunset catamaran cruise, and we watched the sunset in Negril, Jamaica, while eating a Jamaican jerk chicken sandwich. Come on, somebody. We're on a catamaran. I felt like a Kardashian or something. We're just like out there watching the sunset. Like, it was, look, we did so many amazing things on our honeymoon, okay? I can't tell you about most of them because it was our honeymoon. And there's kids in the room, but it was biblical. It was good. But two things went wrong on our amazing honeymoon, okay? There's only two things bad about the whole experience, okay? The first thing is, when we were checking in, they said that there was a nude section on the beach. And I was like, oh! It's like, you know, we're really not into that, okay? Like, it's our honeymoon. There will be some of that, but not on your all's beach, okay? And they're like, oh, no problem, Mom. They said, you won't need to see any naked people. There's a bush, a wall of bushes. You won't see anybody. I'm like, good, because I don't want to be seeing, like, naked Cousin Eddie singing Three Little Birds by Bob Marley. Like, I'm not into that. And so one day, we're on the beach. It was amazing. It looked like a postcard. It's like this bay that we were on, and I'm, like, just laying there. I'm like, I can handle this. Okay, this is good. And out of the corner of my eye, from behind the bushes, out walks a couple. And let me just tell you, they were more naked than Adam and Eve. Like, not just naked, like my dad says, naked. Okay, like full on. And I don't know how to say this, but like, they were so old that I'm not sure if they meant to be naked or if they just forgot their clothes. I don't know. I saw wrinkles in places I didn't know wrinkles exist. I'm like, And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, how did we go from this is a postcard to like this over here so fast? I'm like, I can't handle this. And so we went to the other end of the beach for the rest of the trip where there weren't naked 95-year-olds. And there was this hut on the beach, on that side of the beach. And I went up to the guy who was running the hut. And I was like, listen, you all got naked people on that side of the beach. You need to plant some more bushes or something. And the guy in the hut was like, hey, would you like to go windsurfing? And I'm like, I don't know anything about windsurfing. I can't go windsurfing. And he's like, oh, you can do it, Mon. He said, just let the wind and the current take you. And I was kind of like, maybe I can do this. I mean, I eat sushi now. I jump off of cliffs. I survive 95-year-old naked people. I got this. And so I got on this windsurfing thing, and I start, like, trying to do this. And guys, I could windsurf. I started, and I just started going, and I was, like, going across the bay, and I'm like, I'm a windsurfer. I windsurf. Like, this is great. And I'm like, yo, it was great. And I literally went all the way across the bay. First time I was doing this. And I look back, and the resort was so small, I couldn't even see the naked section. It was great. And then I turned around to come back. And that's when I felt the wind hit me in the face when I turned around. And that's when I realized I only know how to windsurf one direction. I don't know how to do this against the wind. And no lie. Okay, I'm all the way across the bay. I had to swim back to the resort, and I'm like pulling the sail as I'm swimming with across the bay, and I thought, I'm gonna die. And Stacy's gonna be a widow, and she's gonna be stuck on that beach, and there's naked people on that beach, and I feel uncomfortable about that. And I thought, like, how did I go from being I'm a windsurfer to I'm gonna die just like that? And I thought, I can't handle this windsurfing thing. And so if you ever go to Negril, Jamaica, okay, two little pro tips for you. Number one, don't go windsurfing. And number two, don't go near the bush section, okay? So anyway, here's the point. Isn't it crazy how in life it can go from this is the best trip ever, perfect vacation, we're all going to get Salt Life tattoos. Don't do that. But then it goes to, bam, life just blindsides us, and we think, I can't handle this. Like it's kind of crazy to me how quickly, you know, in our lives, we can go from, like, you and your honey bunches texting each other heart emojis, and you're crushing it at work, and you buy a Tesla, everything is good, and then, bam, you get hit, and your boo walks out on you, you lose your job, and the Tesla catches on fire in the garage. And you think, I can't handle this. Let me just see who's listening, who's with me in this. How many of you have ever had something happen in your life and you thought, I can't handle this? Where are you at? It's almost everybody in here. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm going to send my kids home with you after church today. You'll be saying, hey, But it's crazy to me that without fail, when life hits us and we say, I can't handle this, how quickly that when our life looks like a country song and everything's kind of crazy, that how quickly, out of nowhere, a bumper sticker Christian pops out and says, "Oh, don't worry, Sister Carrie. Because when God closes a window or door, he opens a window." Like, do you know people like this who say things like that in the wrong moment? Like, you know what, I need that glove back. What you want to do is you want to, like Mike Tyson, punch them out the window that they said that God is going to open up for you. Or here's another one. Here's another one. When you're going through something and somebody says, "Oh, don't worry, Brother Bill. God won't give you more than you can handle." Listen, if that were true, I wouldn't have seen two naked people in Jamaica. And so today we're going to talk about how God never said, "I won't give you more than you can handle." Now, why do so many of us believe that God said he wouldn't give us more than we can handle? I think it's because we mix up a verse from Paul. And I'll show you this verse. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And this is what Paul says. He says, "The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow," what's it say? "The temptation to be more than you can stand." Okay, quick question. Is this talking about when life gives us more than we can handle and our life looks like a country song? Or is this talking about temptation? Temptation. Because guys, God never said, "I won't give you more than you can handle." And when you look in here, it is Bible hero after Bible hero after Bible hero after Bible hero who has more than they can handle. Like, for instance, in Exodus chapter 4, you got Moses, and he's like, "I'm a horrible speaker. I am not a good leader." And he's like, "God, are you crazy? You want me to be the national spokesperson and lead an entire nation of Israel? I can't handle this." In 1 Kings 19, you got Elijah, and he's got people chasing him down, and people aren't being nice to him, and they're like running him down. You ever feel like this? And he is like feeling like people are after him, and so he walks a day's journey into the desert, lays under a tree, and says, "God, would you take my life? Because they're probably going to take my life." In other words, I can't handle this. Even David in Psalm 38, all right? David, who he had an affair with a married woman, and he ended up killing her husband, which, hello, if you feel bad about yourself, you should read the Bible. Like, David, he's jacked up. And he feels so much weight, so much shame. He's like, "I can't bear the weight of my shame." In other words, I can't handle this. Even Jesus thought he had more than he can handle. Now, I know you're probably like, "Oh, I don't know about that, okay?" But listen, hours before his execution, let me show you what Mark said in Mark 14, 33 through 34. "And he," we're talking about Jesus, "he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them," listen to this, "my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death." Guys, this is Jesus, which means, you listen, You can read all the Tony Robbins you want to read. We can watch all the Dr. Phil we want to watch. But sometimes life is going to hit us and it's going to be more than we can handle. Because guys, God never said, "I won't give you more than you can handle." Aren't you glad you came to church today? But maybe you're like, "Okay, well, why, Pastor Joel, why in the world would God let us have more than we can handle then?" And I'm so glad you're here, because that's what we're going to talk about today. And so if you're taking notes, if you're writing stuff down or taking pictures of the screen or whatever, here's the first point. Why would God let us have more than we can handle? The first point is because that's when we learn to depend on him the most. That's when we learn to depend on him the most. It sort of reminds me of one of my surfing buddies that I've known for about 20 years, which, little sidetrack, one of the weirdest parts of my job is when I tell people I'm a pastor. Like, nothing gets weirder than when I tell people what I do. Like, a while ago, me and my wife, Stacy, were talking to this couple, and we were having, like, the most normal conversation with them. We're talking about life. We're talking about kids. We're talking about football, which I am ready for football season to start right now. I'm, like, ready to go. We're having a great conversation, and then the guy says, "Hey, what do you all do for a living? Like, what do you guys do?" I was like, things are about to get weird. And so I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." And I just remember his face. He just, like, blanked. And then he looked at his wife. Then he looked at me. Then he looked at his wife. Then he looked at me. And then he looked at the watch that wasn't on his hand. And he's like, we got to go, honey. And so I'm like, okay. Listen, if you don't believe me, all right, you just tell somebody you're a pastor sometime. Look, the conversation will go one of two ways. It'll end really quick, or they'll start saying really weird things. You know, it'll go like a complete 180. They'll be like, oh, bless you, brother. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm like, what just happened here? Anyway, back to my buddy who I've known for 20 or so years surfing. When I go surfing, he likes to introduce me to the lineup of everybody out there and tell everybody that I'm a pastor. He'd be like, hey guys, Pastor Joel's here. Don't mess with him. He talks to God. This is Pastor Joel. And I'm like, just Joel is fine. Okay, like, no need for everybody to start acting weird and paddling away. All right, just like stay around. And my buddy who likes to introduce me as like Pastor Joel in the surf lineup, he's not a Christian yet. I think it's going to come, okay, but not yet. What that means is, since he's not a Christian, like he doesn't really pretend around me, since I've known him my whole life, and so like he cusses a lot. Like he has like the gift of cussing. It's like an art form. Like he puts combinations of words together. I didn't even know that was possible. I didn't know. And so I've invited him to church here before, and he'll be like, oh, they won't let me in your church. I'm like, have you seen the people who we let in our church? Sure we will. But he just kind of lets it all out around me, and he's not a believer, and so he'll be like, you know, blankety blank, I'm sorry, Pastor Joel, but bleep, 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 bleep. And I'm like, listen, you should hear some of our volunteers, what they say to me. I mean, it's just pretty. But anyway, what I've noticed in him is he's never acted like he needs God. You know, he's not a believer, so he's never really acted like he needs God. But the other day, I was in the beach parking lot, and his vehicle came flying in the parking lot, and he jumped out, and he's like, bleepity bleep, hey, Pastor Joel. And he said, hey, Pastor Joel, I need you to thank Jesus for me. And I was like, it's like, okay. And he said, listen, I was almost in a wreck because some bleepity bleep black driver almost pulled out in front of me. And I just yelled out, help me, baby Jesus. You know, you've had stories like this, maybe. I don't know. And he's like, I didn't get in a wreck. And so will you just thank Jesus for me? I'm like, hey, I'm glad you're okay. But like, you talk to him. Like, phone home, E.T. Like, you can do this. But what's interesting to me is like when he almost got in a wreck, what did he do? He cried out, help me, Jesus. Right? And isn't it crazy how when life hits us, when life kind of like gets out of control, we're like, Jesus, I need your help. And it doesn't matter if you're Mother Teresa or you got the spiritual gift of cussing, okay, which isn't a spiritual gift, but we still, when life hits us, we phone home, E.T. And what's interesting is the flip side is also true, because when life is good, a lot of times we forget that we need God. Isn't that true? I mean, you're like, oh, I'm on a catamaran cruise in the grilled Jamaica eating a Jamaican jerk chicken sandwich. God, I'm pretty good right now. I don't need anything. I got my jerk chicken sandwich. But if it starts storming and the catamaran starts sinking, who are you going to cry out to? God. And you're going to be like, God, I need your help. You know, send the Navy, send Bob Marley, send somebody to help me. Why would God let us have more than we can handle? Because that is when we learn to depend on him the most. It reminds me of a guy named Jonah in the Bible. And Jonah, God asked him to go preach to the Ninevites. And Jonah's like, heck no. Like, I'm not going to do that. They'll probably start calling me Pastor Jonah and conversations will get weird. I'm not going to do it. And so Jonah went the opposite way from Nineveh, which is where God wanted him to go. He gets in a boat. Let's call it a catamaran. He gets in a catamaran. He goes the opposite way. It starts storming. He gets thrown overboard and he gets eaten by a fish. I think that's more than anybody can handle right there. And while he's in this fish belly, look what he says in Jonah. It says in Jonah chapter 2, verse 2. This is Jonah. He says, in my distress, which is putting it lightly, if you're in a fish belly distress. In my distress, when he had more than he could handle, he says, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Now, quick question. Did Jonah call to the Lord in his success or in his distress? Distress. Why? Because when life is good, a lot of times we forget that we need God. But did you send a storm and the catamaran starts sinking and you fall over and a boat or a fish eats you up? Okay, then we're like, God, I need your help. And maybe you're in a storm in life right now. Maybe you got a storm going on at work. Maybe you have something going on in your marriage or some lightning bolts in the marriage. Maybe it's with your health. Maybe it's with your money. Maybe you just have teenagers. But a lot of times when we're in a storm, it's so easy to say, like, God, where are you? Like, if you're so good, then why is this happening? Like, God, are you even there? And I'm here to tell somebody, listen, never let the presence of a storm make you doubt the presence of God. Never let the presence of a storm in your life make you doubt the presence of God. He's there. Because in here, over and over and over again, we hear this promise from God. I will never leave you. I am always with you. I will never leave you. I am always with you. And you might say, well, you know, he's not with me because I'm a single mom and the man in my life walked out on me. No. A man in your life walked out on you. The man in your life will never walk out on you. He is there. He's there. And so when you're going through a storm, you need to call out to him. You need to phone home, E.T., and never let the presence of a storm make you doubt the presence of God if you're going through a storm. And maybe you're going through a storm right now and you think, well, you know, God's not here. He must be just up there somewhere. No. He is in the storm with you. And if it's raining in your life right now, just call out to him. Phone home, E.T. Because when we call out to him, God busts out his secret weapon. When we call out to him, he shows up. And he's got an umbrella called peace. And a lot of times, if it's raining in your life right now, and it's raining on your parade, and you're like, I don't think God is with me. And if you call out to him, he's like, I'm here. I'm holding this umbrella up over you. And so, like, I will never leave you. You can depend on me because I am always with you. And like, a lot of times we think, oh, God will just take the storm away. Sometimes he doesn't take the storm away. He might look out and say, oh, the storm's going to stick around for a little while, so I'm just going to stand here with you. In the storm. I'm going to be your peace in the storm. And so this is your peace. Jesus is your peace. He wants to stand with you in the storm. Why would God let us have more than we can handle? Because that's when we learn to depend on him the most. That's when we realize that we need his umbrella of peace over us. And so Jonah, in his distress, not in his success, called out to God. Here's what David did. I'm just going to keep this umbrella up for a little while, so just hang with me, okay? In Psalm 145, verse 18, David said, the Lord is close, because he's got the umbrella over you, this umbrella called peace. The Lord is close to all who, what? Call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. And so call on him. Phone home, E.T. Call on him. Phone home, E.T. Because when it's raining, he specializes in peace. He specializes in busting out his secret weapon, which is an umbrella called peace. Why would God let us have more than we can handle? Because that's when we learn to depend on him the most and never let the presence of a storm make you doubt the presence of God. And a lot of times, look, we learn to experience or we experience God in the sunshine, but we learn to depend on him in the rain. Isn't that true? Like for me, I did a lot of stupid things in high school. I do a lot of stupid things now. High school was a different level of stupid. And so one time, me and my buddy Jesse Timmons were in his GMC Jimny. And his GMC Jimny, it was like a classic-looking GMC Jimny. It was awesome. We crossed over the 170,000-mile mark, and he was like, we need to celebrate. And so we were going around an S-turn, and so he mashed the gas pedal going around this S-turn. It started to lose control in the back, and we started to go do a 360 while going around an S-turn. And was I like, Jimmy, I depend on you. No, I was like, Jesus, I depend on you. When I was in college, and one of my best friends betrayed me and stabbed me in the back, and it hurt me so bad emotionally, I depended on God. When I was when it was 2005 and I bought a piece of property and I was going to flip it and make money, and 3 years later it lost 60% of its value. Hello, 2008. I learned to depend on God during that more than in any other point in my life up until that time. when I got married to my wife, Stacy. Well, she's perfect, so we're good there. But when we had kids, hello, I learned to depend on God and those diapers. That's holding everything in there, okay? When my boy Nixon, when Stacy was pregnant with Nixon, and we went to the doctor, and they said he has two cysts on his brain, and we had to have genetic counseling, I learned to depend on God. When I was depressed for a period of 2 years, and every day I woke up and I thought, I don't know how to handle this. I don't want to walk out the door. I depended on God through that more than at any other point in my life so far. When I became the campus pastor here, I was like, God, I need your help. Because look at these people. They're crazy. No, but I was like, God, I need your help. And listen, we all love to see God when our life motto is, oh, I'm walking on sunshine. But I'm telling you, my life has taught me that when it's raining, that's when I'm like, God, I need you so much. And that's when I feel like God just reminds me, I'm there. I'm right here. I'm always with you. You can depend on me. I will never leave you. I got my secret weapon with you called peace. And so why would God let us have more than we can handle? Because that's when we learn to depend on him the most. And I'm telling you all day long, I would rather be standing in the storm with Jesus than standing in the sunshine without him. I would rather be standing in the storm with Jesus than standing in the sunshine without him. Never let the presence of a storm make you doubt the presence of God. Help it to remind you that his presence is with you in the storm. Why would God let us have more than we can handle? Because that's when we learn to depend on him the most. Here's a second and final point, why would God let us have more than we can handle? Because that's when we experience his strength, his power the most. Now, speaking of strength, my pup-up can do more push-ups than anybody I know. And he's 82 years old, okay? So, no lie, I was talking to him last Friday, and when I went in there to talk to him, he said to me, boy, that's what he always says to me, boy. He said, I did 115 push-ups when I woke up today. And I was like, I'm just going to go in the corner over here, pop up, and feel inadequate about myself right now. That's what I'm going to do. And he's all, my whole life, my pop up has been strong. Like, we should just call him Pop Up the Rock Tice. Like, he's just, like, strong. Like, when I was growing up, I remember he would sit in his recliner chair in his living room, and he would just sit there with this hand exercise thingy, and he'd sit there like this. And he'd watch George Foreman VHS tapes while doing this, and he'd sit there, like, punching like this. I'm like, this is like a scene from Rocky IV and my pup-up is Drago, okay? Like, this is amazing. And so my pup-up, the point is, like, he's just ridiculously strong. So a few years ago, our other campus had this event called Manfest. I don't know, weird name, whatever. It was called Manfest. It was a great time, all right? It was just a bunch of guys got together. We all sat around different tables, and we all just, like, sort of lied about the last time we went in our crawl spaces and fixed things, okay? This is like what men do. And so when we were planning Manfest, David, who is now in Alabama, he used to be part of our team here, but he moved to Alabama, he had this idea. He's like, here's what we should do at Manfest. We need to have a push-up contest, and it should be against you, Joel, and your dad, and your papa. See who can do the most. I'm like, are we running out of ideas? Like, why are we doing a push-up contest? Yeah, and so yeah, you were there. You remember this. And so David said, here's how it'll work. Everybody will get 2 minutes, and you do the most push-ups you can do in 2 minutes. And just to make it even, because Joel, your pup-up's 82 years old, all right, to make it even, we'll just add your age to your total amount of push-ups that you do. So if pup-up does 100 push-ups and he's 82, his total will be 182. If I do 36, or if I do 100 and I'm 36, then I'll get 136. You guys with me? A little math. Some of you look confused. I don't know. Okay, it's all right. It's all right. So then David said to me, I bet you, Joel, you can't do more push-ups than your papa. You can't beat him. Now, what's weird about his bet is, like, he didn't bet me anything. He didn't say, I bet you $5. He didn't say, I bet you a Chick-fil-A sandwich, also known as Christian chicken. Nothing. He just bet me. But when you bet somebody at Manfest that they can't beat somebody else, look, men, we are wired to be like, oh, I'll bring it on. Okay, I'm going to put the bicep, I'm going to put the man in Manfest. Okay, I'm going to beat my 82-year-old grandfather. Yeah, I will do this. And so we got in front of hundreds of people, and we did a push-up contest. And here's a picture from the push-up contest right here. That's my dad on the far side right there. This is my pup up the rock, Tice, in the middle. And then the reason I'm a speed blur is because I'm doing so many push-ups so fast. And so, listen, when we got started, I was like, I am strong enough. I'm going to beat Pup up. I got this. I don't need no Chick-fil-A sandwich to be the strongest in tights line. And I'm like going as hard as I can. And I felt good about myself until I could hear Harold. This is young Harold who comes here. He was counting my Pup up's push-ups. And this is all I could hear. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. It sounded like an auctioneer. I'm like, Pup up, are you on steroids? Like, what's going on? So I was just like, oh, I gotta crank it up. And so I'm like doing more push-ups. I'm like, I'm strong enough. I can handle this. And no lie, at a minute and a half in, my arms locked up. I couldn't do one more push-up. And I looked over at my 82-year-old pup-up, and this is what he looked like. And so I'm like, I got to be stronger. I can do this. I can do this. And I could not do one more push-up. And my pup-up did win the push-up contest, just so you all know. And I think sometimes when life hits us with tough stuff, I think we're kind of like me in the push-up contest. Like, I'm strong enough. I can do this. I can handle this. And like, you know, we're getting hit with different things, but we think I'm supposed to just handle every situation that's thrown at me because God said, I will never give you more than you can handle, which isn't true. But we think, oh, I just got to be strong enough and push through this. But that's not true, church. We don't have to push through everything because you weren't created to be strong enough to push through everything. You were created to need God. Okay, listen, I'm just telling you, front row, if you guys are in the back, our team in the back, everybody, listen, you were created to need his strength. Amen. You were created to be able to do it all yourself. And when we realize that God doesn't expect us to handle everything, that's when I think we experience his power the most. It sort of reminds me of a guy named Paul. In 2 Corinthians, Paul had what he calls a thorn in his flesh, which is just a metaphor for something in his life that he couldn't handle. Now, we don't know what this thorn in his flesh was. Some people say it was a physical struggle he had. Other people say it was a sin struggle. Nobody really knows what this was, but we knew he couldn't handle it, and so he just cried out to God constantly, like, God, would you just fix this? Would you just take this away? Would you fix it? And God didn't fix it, which I think we've all been there, okay? We're like, God, I need you to fix my boss. I need you to fix my knee. I had a knee replacement, and I'm a little tired of the stanky leg, okay? I'm like, I need you to fix it. I need you to fix my wife. Men, don't look at your wife right now. This is a bad time. But we think, God, you need to fix it, and then God doesn't fix it, and we're like, well, God, why would you let me have more than I can handle, God? And he answered that question for Paul. He answered that question, and I think it's all of our answer. And this is what happens in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, when Paul had more than he can handle. Each time God said to Paul, my grace is all you need. Read this with me, church. My power works best in weakness. When I can't win the push-up contest, my power works best in weakness. And so Paul is like, oh, your power works best in weakness. And look how he flips his tune. He says, so now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's say this together, church. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's say it strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul's like, listen, when I don't think I can handle it, that is when I experience his strength the most. When I don't think I can do it, that's when I think I feel like his strength the most. I feel that on this stage all the time. Listen, I will write 40 to 45 new messages this year. I will preach around 100 times, 100 messages this year, 100 different times. And can I just be like 100% real with y'all? Some of you are like, well, I thought you were being real when you talk about naked old people in Jamaica. This should be interesting. No, but here it is. I don't always feel like preaching. I don't always feel like writing new messages. Okay, like for instance, last weekend, I talked about chasing holiness. The day before, on Saturday before, me and my wife Stacy got in the biggest fight over where the nearest gas station was. And it was like, it looked like a Jerry Springer show inside the Toyota Sienna. Yeah, married couples, you ever fought about something dumb? Just make me feel good about myself right now. Come on, yeah. And we were fighting about this, and listen, we got to the gas station. I'm not going to tell you who was right. Anyway, I was so mad still. I got out to pump her gas, and I'm standing there like, I was like my pup up with his, I'm like squeezing the thing like, I can't believe this. The next day, I'm talking about chasing holiness. And sometimes I don't feel like getting up here and speaking because I don't got this stuff down either. Sometimes I don't feel like getting up here and speaking because I know after church today at lunch, you're going to be like critiquing the message. Like, well, I'll give that one a 4. Last week he danced, so that was a 5. He didn't dance this week, so we're going to go with a 4 this week. And so sometimes I don't feel like being like critiqued and judged. Sometimes I don't feel like healthy enough or good enough to go. Like, I feel sick sometimes. And I've never missed a message for being sick, okay? I just pray, take medicine, and preach. But listen, sometimes like I've had like stomach awareness. Look, you all been there, you know. But I like, you know, anyway, but listen, I just pray, make sure I'm not wearing my white Levi jeans, and I just go. If I ever just like run off the stage in the middle of the message, just it's a human moment, okay? Just go with it, all right? But the point is, sometimes I feel like I don't have what I need to be up here on this stage. And without fail, when I feel the weakest and I feel like I have the least to bring you all, that's when I feel God's strength the most. That's when I feel his wind behind me, in my sails, just pushing me. And that's why every single Sunday when I'm standing up here on the front row, I say the same prayer. I'm like, God, I give you my breath. I give you my hands. I give you my feet. I give you my reputation. I give you my strength. I give you my weaknesses. I give every part of me to you because I'm too weak to stand on that stage. And so, God, I need you to speak through me, speak through me, speak through me. And for the last 5.5 years, every single time I get up here, I feel his wind in my sails pushing me. And I think so many of us are sort of like me in Jamaica. We're just like, well, we're swimming up current. We're swimming against the wind. Like, I got to be strong enough. I got to handle this on my own. Okay, no. You just, listen, you don't need to be strong enough. You just need to put your sail up and let his power be the wind in your sail to pull you through whatever storm you're going through. Because this isn't just peace. He's also your power to pull you through whatever storm you're going through. When you're weak, that is when he is strong. That's when you're strong, or that's when he is strong. Yesterday, I told y'all that my pup is the strongest person I know, like physically, as an older man. He's also the strongest person I know spiritually. But yesterday, I saw him in a moment of weakness because we buried his wife. And we buried my mom yesterday. And I went over to see him and my mom last Friday when my mom was still living, and she was sleeping when I went over to visit, and I was talking to my papa, who's just a spiritual giant, and he's holding my mom's hand, and he said, Joel, they call these the golden years, but this doesn't feel very golden to me. He said, I've been married to your mom for 62 years, and I don't know how to do life without her. But then I saw him kind of like straighten up, and he said, but Joel, God is my strength. He's been my strength my entire life. He's been our family's strength our entire life. And I watched my papa, who was feeling so weak emotionally, I watched him get on the stage yesterday and talk about his wife of 62 years who was right in front of him in a casket. And when we're weak, that is when he's strong. And when some bumper sticker Christian says to you, God will never give you more than you can handle, that's not true. My papa has got more than he can handle right now. And when you lose your job, that's going to be more than you can handle. If you're a teenager in today's world with social media, you're going to have moments that you can't handle. If you're a parent, you're going to have moments that you can't handle. Listen, if you're a man married to a woman, or if you're a Be careful. Be careful. Or if you're a woman married to a man, you will have more than you can handle. And instead of saying, I got to be strong enough, I can handle this on my own. No. We should be saying, I'm weak, I'm broken, I'm dependent on you, God, because we need His peace, His power, His strength, and His love more than we need a perfect, pain-free life. Come on, somebody. And I'm just telling you, all day long, I would rather be in the storm with Jesus than in the sunshine without Him. And maybe you're going through a storm right now and you're like, I don't know how I can handle this. Why would God give me more than I can handle? Because sometimes that's when we learn to depend on Him the most. And sometimes that's because that's when we experience His strength the most. Because His power is made perfect in our weakness. Let me pray for you guys. Jesus, I'm so thankful for these words, because when I watched my pop-up yesterday, it was a moment of weakness from a man that is so strong typically. But God, I saw him draw on your strength. And God, I think that's just an illustration, a model for all of us, that a lot of times we think, well, I gotta control this. I got to handle this. I got to be strong enough. And the reality is, you never said that. We aren't strong enough. We weren't created to be strong enough. And so God, for whatever weaknesses are represented in this room, I pray that we'll just own those weaknesses, that we'll say, yeah, I am weak and I need your strength, God. Because when we realize that we can't handle it all, I think that's when we experience your power the most. So God, there are situations in this room where people can't handle it. I think everybody in this room has one thing at least that they can't handle. And God, I just pray that we'll walk out of here knowing that we can't handle it, but you can. That we don't want to stand in the sunshine without you. We want to stand in the storm with you. And you are with us, and you are our peace, and you are our power. And when we put our sail down to be pulled through the storm with your power, God, and when we put the umbrella up over us to be your peace, God, I just pray that will give us something to pull through the storm that we're in. And God, we just are so thankful that you don't leave us in those moments. You are with us. And God, you are just a model of everything we need in life when we don't have everything we feel like we need to have. And God, we just give it all to you. We just pray that you'll give us strength in the middle of whatever we're dealing with. And we thank you so much for your positive words to us in those storm moments, Jesus. We love you so much. Amen.